You're listening to Lace Up with your host, BJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, BJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. Appreciate everybody joining the podcast and tuning in right now. I apologize about my week off from posting an episode. I was actually in the process of moving, and we all know how stressful and crazy moving can be. I mean, it's so many different miscellaneous things that you don't think about when you're moving that you have to continuously go back and forth to the store and get. Like, man, I need to get a rug. Man, I forgot to get an iron. Man, I need to get some liners for the drawers. Man, I have to go get a lamp. It's so many different things that you just don't think about. And a lot of you all, you know, you may be in the process of moving right now, or you may be planning to move in the future. And you're going to look and think back to this episode 3 of Lace Up, and say, you know what? I appreciate VJ for reminding me about all these little miscellaneous items that I may not be thinking about. So, hey, I'm telling y'all, just wait. If you haven't experienced it yet, you will experience it. But hey, we got a jam-packed show, man. Let's jump into our sports talk. We're going to start off in the NFL. We got a trade that has happened since the last time we were broadcasting the show between the Colts and the Philadelphia Eagles. So Carson Wentz was traded to the Indianapolis Colts. So the details of this trade, the Eagles are going to get a 2021 third round pick and a conditional 2022 second round pick that could turn into a first rounder. Now, that conditional 2022 pick that could turn into a first rounder, that can only be met by one of two scenarios. So the first one is that Wentz must play at least 75% of the Colts' offensive plays. So that's one. Wentz must play at least 75% of the Colts' offensive plays. Second, either or, Wentz must play at least 70% of the snaps and the Colts have to make the playoffs. So, who won this trade? So before we talk about necessarily who won the trade, and there is a winner, and you may look at it two different ways, but I have my idea on who won this trade. But let me just give you a little detail quickly before I tell you who I believe won this trade. So the Eagles are actually going to take a $33.8 million dead cap hit. That's going to be the largest that any team has taken for a player. The Colts will get the balance of Carson Wentz's $128 million extension and a $10 million guaranteed roster bonus, which is due on March 19th. So, looking at this trade, I think that both teams won in a sense. I do think I give the edge to the Eagles, because anytime you have the ability to get draft picks and build around your team, I think that's always a plus. So I do think that I'm going to give the edge to the Eagles, definitely with winning this trade. Now, with the Colts, I give them a credit in the fact that they were able to get this deal done, because they do get a quarterback to replace Phillip Rivers. Now, they are taking on that risk, that injury risk with Carson Wentz. Now, we know that he is not one to have been known to be healthy throughout his career. So they are taking on that risk. But I think with the way that the Colts play on the defensive end and offensively, I think that they're going to be okay. They protected Phillip Rivers pretty well, really well, actually, last year. So I think that when you put Carson Wentz insert him into the offense like what the Colts have with the weapons that they have, they'll be okay. And a lot of people, you know, question about can Carson get back to playing how he was in 2018 when he was having his MVP type season. And that question is yet to be answered, but is it possible to happen? Absolutely. Absolutely possible to happen. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. So the Colts only gave up 19 sacks to Rivers last year. So that was 28th in the NFL. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. 28th in the NFL and giving up sacks. As opposed to Wentz in Philly, who was sacked 50 times, which is the most in the NFL in 2020. So you see the difference. He's going to be surrounded by an offensive line featuring Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, Anthony Costanzo, Braden Smith, and Mark Glonowski. His running backs and wide receivers are going to have Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines. He had T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman Jr., Zach Pascal, and Jack Doyle at the tight end position. So, again, look at the weapons that he has now as opposed to what he had in Philadelphia. And I know we're really hard on Carson Wentz, but let's be fair. Let's be fair, people. The Eagles' offensive line was awful. I mean, they were awful. It's not like he had the protection. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not saying that he's just going to come back and be this super great quarterback and lead the league in X. I'm not saying all of that, but you have to give him the benefit of the doubt from the simple fact that he did not have an offensive line. I know he threw a lot of interceptions as well. He was really high up on the list, if not throwing the most. He was definitely high up there in the top five at least in interceptions. A lot of that was forced. A lot of those were due to lack of protection. So he was trying to make something out of nothing, which that is something that he's going to have to work on when he's in Indianapolis, is to just take what you have there. You have the two solid running backs, which he can lean on. When you have a solid running game, that makes things a lot easier for the quarterback. He doesn't have to do as much in Indianapolis as he would have had to do, say, if he went to Chicago, a team who still has a lot of question marks around whether or not they're going to have Allen Robinson back, their number one wide receiver. They still have the offensive line that they still have to work on and address there's some needs there. But when you go to Indianapolis, they already have a great defense. I mean, the Bears have a great defense too, but they have a lot more in place where Carson won't be as stressed. He won't have to worry about trying to do too much. Now, can he get in that mindset that I don't have to be Superman? That's going to be the key right there. That's going to be the key. I'm interested to see how they're going to mold and shape this offense around Carson Wentz's skill set and how they're going to be able to proceed, you know, going forward throughout the season. So definitely pay close attention to that and kind of how that unfolds. But I'm excited to see how it turns out. But the one thing that I will say, the Eagles, with that conditional 2022 pick that they're hoping can turn into a first, that means they have to put their hope in Carson Wentz to stay healthy for at least 70% of the season. That's a stretch. That's a lot. I'm just saying that is a lot. So they're putting their faith and hope in Carson Wentz. It's kind of funny when you think about it, because they kind of lost that trust with Carson Wentz when, you know, Jalen kind of took over. He was losing Wentz was really losing the team in the locker room, so they had to make a switch. And there were reports coming out of him being divisive in the locker room as well. So it's funny how now they're dependent on him to stay healthy to be able to get that pick to turn into a first rounder. I just think it's kind of funny to me. I don't know about anybody else, but that is pretty comical when you think about it, and you just think about what just transpired with Carson and that organization to now saying, okay, yeah, we need you to be healthy now. We know you couldn't stay healthy in Philly, but now we need you to stay healthy for about 70% of this season, and y'all have to make the playoffs or at least play 75%. That's all we need. So yeah, just pay close attention to that, people. It's gonna be exciting to see. Let's move on and take things to the NBA. So we have the Los Angeles Lakers, who have been without Anthony Davis, as we all know, who's been out with the calf strain and the tendinosis in his right Achilles. So the Lakers, since Anthony Davis has been out, they've lost 5 out of their last 6 games. They lost their 4th in a row last night when they were beat down by the Utah Jazz. So looking at that game, the Utah Jazz were able to really just... They had their way with them. I mean, the Jazz won handily 114-89. They improved to 26-6, and then the Lakers fall to 22-11. Again, I mentioned this is their fourth loss in a row. The Lakers shot 8-33 from the three-point line, which is 24%. They were 13-20 from the free throw line, and they had 14 turnovers. So as we can see, the Lakers continuing to struggle without Anthony Davis, which we all, you know, we understand that presence of Anthony Davis not being there. So should the Lakers be worried? Should Lakers fans be worried about just the overall landscape of what this means for the Lakers going forward? If you ask me, yeah, I definitely think that they should be a little worried. I'm not saying to the point where, oh my God, all hope is lost, but you definitely should be a little worried, because that not having Anthony Davis out there, a guy who's averaging 22-8 right now, he does provide that defense that you need. He takes that pressure off LeBron James. And he's an offensive juggernaut. We know when Anthony Davis is rolling, we know that he when he's on, he's on. He can do it from anywhere on the court. He shoot threes, he can do the mid-range game, he can drive and attack. He could do it all. And he's, like I mentioned before, he's a great defender. And let's not to mention they also have Dennis Schroeder who's out as well. But they've been out-rebounded, and they've shot less from the three-point line in all of their losses. Every single one of their losses. So you have to be worried, because it's almost like, you know, where's that fight? Where's that effort? I know they did lose some close games. I know they did. They have been in majority of the games that they lost. They were pretty close down to the end. But you do see lackluster performances on the defensive end. It's kind of like when you look at them, they seem a little down and depressed out there on the court. And it's like, where's that energy? It can't all be on LeBron James. And LeBron is going to sit up there in post-game conferences and tell you every single time, I'm not tired. I don't get tired. I'm resting right now. I'm going to rest tomorrow. We'll be right back. But listen to me, people. He could say that all he wants to, but there's a such thing called fatigue. And you want to know how I know that fatigue sets in? Because if you look towards the end of the games, his shots start to hit off the side of the rim. Then they're not hitting in the center anymore. They're not falling. He's starting to that fatigue is setting in, because now they're expecting him to do more, which obviously they're gonna need him to do more, because he's really the only other person that really can create their own shot and do and do what Schroeder or Anthony Davis can do. He's the only one right now that can really do that on that team. So, yes, that fatigue is going to set in for him. And I mean, it has set in. You know, you could see it. You could clearly see it. If you don't think so, just watch. Watch the games. Just watch them and pay very close attention to the demeanor. Pay very close attention to just how his shots transition from that first half of the game to the latter half of the game. There is fatigue. And when you look at this situation here with Anthony Davis being out, you don't want to rush him back. Let's look back at what happened with the Kevin Durant situation, where, you know, they told him, you know, they rushed him back. Oh, he's good to go. And what did he end up doing? Got hurt even worse. And we didn't know that whether or not he would be able to come back the same. Now, he has shocked the world and come back and averaging 30, which is outstanding. Yes, he's missed the last, four games or so, but once he comes back, I mean, it's going to continue to be nasty, man. He's going to continue to take off, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Kevin Durant and the Nets just a little bit later on in the show. But back to the Lakers, this really makes you wonder, this situation without Anthony Davis being there out on the court injured right now. Why did the Lakers give up all of that presence that they had in the paint? Why did they let Dwight Howard walk? Why did they let JaVale McGee walk? They should have kept one of those two guys. And if it was me, I probably would have kept Dwight Howard. You know, you need that size. Because here is the reality of the situation, people. Marc Gasol, he is not the answer, okay? Marc Gasol is not the answer. He's like 36 years old. He's super slow. He's averaging 4 points and four rebounds. What is that going to get you? I can go out there and average 4 points and four, well, maybe not four rebounds, because I'm like, you know, everybody else is probably, everybody's a giant compared to me. But I can get you 4 points. You know what I mean? I mean, I can shoot. I'm not going to drive on anybody, because they would probably send my shot, like, maybe to the third deck in the arena. But that's okay. I would still try. I get fouled. It's, you know, I'm a short guy. You know, I can drive to the lane and get fouled. You know, get my little Nate Robinson on. You know what I mean? I can make some free throws. I can get you 4 points. But Marc Gasol averaging 4 and 4, that's not going to do anything. It's just not. And every time Marc Gasol pulls up from the three-point line, it's just, I don't know what to say. Because it's like, dude, just stop. Just give it up. But that's the only hope. That's really the only hope he has. Because he's not effective for that team. So I think they made a big mistake by letting Dwight and JaVale McGee walk. And we can see that. And this one is for all the, you know, I rock with LeBron. You know, I don't have a problem with LeBron. But there's so many people who, you know, tell me, oh, you know, it doesn't matter who's out there with LeBron. He can win with anybody. He did it back when he took this team to the finals. He did that. He did this. He could do it with anybody. But now they lose 5 out of the last 6 games. Now it's like, oh, man, you know, no, he needs help. He needs help. Make it make sense. Let's make it make sense. Can he win with anybody? Or are we going to be honest and say he needs help? Because everybody needs help in some way. People need help. Especially how old he is in the year. It's year 17, 18. Come on. No. He's not going to. This team, him in this team right now, they would not win the finals without Anthony Davis. And that's point blank period. So don't sit up here and tell me that he could take this team to the finals, because he can't. That's no knock on him. But there's nowhere near enough firepower needed to be able to beat a Utah Jazz team who's on fire. And let's just touch on the Utah Jazz real quick before I go into my next topic. The Utah Jazz, first in the West right now. As I mentioned earlier, they improved to 26-6. They won 22 out of their last 24 games. They're the best team in the NBA right now. They're the best. They have... Let's look at the most wins by 10 plus points through 32 games in NBA history. They are number one. They just became number one with 22 wins. Behind them is the 2015 and 16 Spurs. Then you have the Celtics from 2007 and 2008. Then you had the Celtics again from 90 to 91. The Sixers 82 to 83. And the Lakers 71 to 72. They have the most wins by 10-plus points through 32 games in NBA history. That is outstanding. The Jazz are balling. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert and the crew, Joe Ingles, those guys are getting after it. They don't have a missing piece right now. They're clicking on the offensive and the defensive end. So watch out. Watch out for the Jazz, man. I mean, they put up a good fight in the bubble, you know, last year, and They're back in business this year. You know, they're on a mission. And you would hate to have to play a Utah Jazz team with home court advantage. You just don't want to play that. They're clicking on all cylinders right now. So the Lakers are going to have to get healthy, cuz that's right now that's their biggest threat is Utah. Hands down, biggest threat. So let's move on and talk about the Nets. So the Nets have won, they won their 6th game in a row. So the question here is, like, what has been working? What have been the keys to success for the Brooklyn Nets? If you ask me, you know, looking at the Brooklyn Nets, they're 2nd in the East right now, 6th in the NBA record-wise. They're 12-4 against teams that are 500 or better, which is 75%, which gives them the best win rate percentage in the league. They're playing team basketball right now. That's point blank, period. They're playing team basketball. Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Joe Harris, they're balling. And then you got Landry Shamet, excuse me, and DeAndre Jordan. They're coming off the bench. That's providing some extra, you know, the extra firepower that they were missing off the bench. And they've gotten better defensively. They have improved. They weren't clicking on the defensive end early on. But now they have improved that. And we've seen it. I mean, they've beaten the Lakers, they've beaten the Clippers twice, they've beaten Boston, and they've beaten Utah. So they've beaten some heavy hitters in the West, some top heavy hitters in the West, and they've beaten Boston. Well, Boston is eighth right now. They look pretty bad right now, but Boston is still not a tough out when you're playing that team. They're scrappy, they get after it, and they give you tough games. So I think what's really been working for them is they've really been playing together. And I'm interested to see what happens when Kevin Durant comes back, when he's able to come back in the lineup. And I think he's expected to come back pretty soon. It's gonna be exciting to see what happens, you know, and how they're gonna figure this out. And I know a lot of people still are writing it off, and a lot of people don't think that they can make this thing work. But I do think that it's very possible that they can continue to click and they can continue to stay focused. Kyrie's coming back focused. And I think that once you got a guy like Kyrie, who's, you know, was in the news a lot for off the court stuff, you know, somewhat of being a distraction to the team. A lot of people think that, you know, and rightfully so, you know, they were just saying that they didn't think that he was going to be the problem, you know. But him and Harden have clicked when KD's been gone, and when KD's been there with Harden, they were clicking when Kyrie was gone. So now it's a matter of them meshing, all three of those guys meshing together on the court at the same time. I know they're not always going to be on the court at the same time, but when they are, it's going to be a great thing to see how they continue to grow together going forward. So pay attention to the Nets, man. I think the Nets and the Sixers right now, I'm looking at that as my Eastern Conference. I'm just going to give an early prediction. I know I'll have another show giving you guys my predictions, but right now I'm looking at the Philadelphia 76ers, and I'm looking at the Brooklyn Nets as a potential Eastern Conference Finals matchup, which would be a great matchup if Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid could continue to ball like they've been balling. Joel Embiid especially, with the way that he's been balling, putting up MVP numbers, Shaq-like MVP numbers. So right now, nobody really has an answer for him. So I'm hoping that he could continue to be playing at a high level later on in the season as we, you know, approach this second half of the season. We got the All-Star break coming up. And I'm hoping that they can still, you know, he can remain healthy. So we can see that hopefully that matchup that everyone wants to see. So, and of course, don't look over Miami as being a team that could get in there too. You know, there's other teams as well. But I personally would love to see that matchup. And hey, before I go any further into my next topic, I should have started off the show with this, but just wanted to give thoughts and prayers out to Tiger Woods and his family. And we all know what happened with the tragic accident, car accident that just happened the other day, where he had to be pulled out of his vehicle. He was coming around a road that was known to be a dangerous road, and ultimately lost control of the vehicle and crashed and had to be rushed to the hospital, had to receive surgery. Since then, he's had severe, the reports are saying severe leg injuries, which might require him to have surgery every day, every other day. He's having to have repeated surgeries just to make sure that there's no more damage and to continue to repair his leg. So again, thoughts and prayers out to Tiger Woods, man. I personally just hope that he's able to recover, not just in a sense of right now. We're just gonna not factor in if he could come back and play golf. I'm just happy that he was alive, that he's alive and he's able to still see his family. They can see him and he's able to talk and just be here with us. You know, it's been a tough, last year was really tough and, you know, we started this year off, we had some losses too. So some major, celebrity losses over this past, year and into this year. So, just happy and thankful that he's alive. Let's continue on in, our sports talk right now. So next topic that I wanted to discuss is Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. And I know we all are tired of hearing about this. I'm personally tired of hearing about it, but I gotta talk about it. I get tired of turning on, you know, ESPN and watching Get Up and First Take and Undisputed, and it's always about, there's always some section in the show about Dak and the Cowboys, and it's like, what are the Cowboys doing? It's not their fault they have to talk about it, but it's just dragging on so long, and it's so irritating when you look at this situation, because the Cowboys are saying that they want and they're hoping for a long-term deal by March 9th. They're hoping for a long-term deal by March 9th. Okay, all right. So here's my thing. If you wanted a deal to be done, you would have gotten it done. So there's my question. Will this long-term deal get done? Will this ever happen? My answer to this question, no. There's not going to be a long-term deal done, people. If you heard it here first, you heard it here first. There will not be a long-term deal done. I do not see it happening. This has been dragging on way too long, and it makes no sense. Jerry Jones is sitting up there, you know, he has his pinstripe blazer on with his button up with the top button open with his little Dallas star on the lapel, sitting up there in the press box with his hands folded, thinking like, yeah, this is Jerry's world. I'm the man. I did that. No, you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. You did not secure and lock up a guy who's been balling out for your team. A guy who wants to be in Dallas. A guy who wants to play for you, and you just don't care. You always, Jerry Jones always has to be in control, and that's his problem. Once he feels like he's lost some type of leverage and some type of control, oh, it's time for Big Bad Jerry to step in and take over again. What kind of general manager is that? Who does that? Like, money and power, that's all you care about? Like, come on, man. Jerry? What's wrong with you, man? But anyway, I'm sorry. I went off on a little tangent right now because it really upsets me. Especially, and I'm going to say this last piece, and I'm going to continue on with the rest of this topic. It really upsets me when you have guys that say, you know, there are certain analysts, and I heard one today. I'm not going to say any names, but I heard an analyst today get on national TV with a straight face and tell the people, the viewers, that Carson Wentz was a more talented quarterback than Dak Prescott. And I swear, I almost threw my remote at my television screen. You're going to sit up here and tell me Carson Wentz is more talented than Dak Prescott? Bye. Stop. Stop. No. No. Don't ever say that again. But anyway, I'm done. I promise y'all I'm done. You know, every now and then I get off track. You know, every now and then I go on my little tangent. But it's because I love sports so much, y'all. I love it. This is for the love of the game. But let's jump back into it, man. Okay. So, the franchise tag window, as we all know, it officially opened on Tuesday. The Cowboys could tag Dak Prescott for a second year in a row, which would net him $37.7 million for 2021. Now, the 15-day franchise tag period is actually going to end on March 10th, which is why they want to get this long-term deal done by the 9th. So giving and applying a second franchise tag to Dak Prescott would actually be very challenging, and I'm going to tell you why. So the NFL and the NFL Players Association actually agreed to a $180 million salary cap floor for 2021, which is going to begin on March 17th. So, and this is due to the pandemic. So the revenue is going to be shorter this year. So in 2021, the salary cap won't be above $185 million. Dak's 2020 tag, which was his first tag, was 15.85% of the league-wide $198.2 million salary cap. So a $37.7 million tag would be 20.94% of the league's salary cap at the end of the $180 million floor in 2021. So you see the drama there. You see how much of a jump that is and how much of a percentage jump that is towards that league salary cap. So the Cowboys currently have $17.55 million of room to work with if the salary cap is indeed set at $180 million in 2021, which we all expect it to. So if tagged again, if they tag Dak Prescott again, they're going to actually have until 4 p.m. on July 15th to reach a long-term deal, or they can't do anything until the 2021 regular season ends. So drama, people. We see it right there. You heard it. You heard all of the drama right here. This money that's involved, the risk with tagging them a second time, how much that's going to impact the salary cap, the league salary cap. What's Jerry going to do? Now, let me tell you about the leverage that Dak Prescott has, because a lot of people may not think that he has leverage, but I'm going to tell you the leverage that he has in this situation, because his leverage has grown. Dak was having the best year of his career in 2020. So he was on pace to shatter Peyton Manning's NFL single-season passing yards record of 5,477 yards. He was projected to be at 6,760 passing yards for that season. He completed a career-high 68% of his passes in the five games that he played before, we all know, his major injury. The Cowboys actually struggled without Dak Prescott. With Dak Prescott, he was throwing 422 yards per game, and the Cowboys were scoring 31.5 points per game in four complete games that he played. The Cowboys averaged, without him, 204 passing yards a game and just 21 points a game. So if he's tagged again, it would set him up to leave Dallas as an unrestricted free agent in 2022, which it's very likely. So he has, if you can see that leverage that Dak has had and leverage that's continuing to grow. And the issue here is Dak wanted a 4-year deal, but Jerry Jones wants a 5-year deal. And we all know, of course, the details in between the two, like the guaranteed money, so on and so forth. So they're at a crossroads. They're at a standstill. So if you ask me, I really think that right now, I mean, they might as well just trade him. They might as well trade him. And maybe there's a possibility that they could tag him and trade him. They could tag and trade, or they could straight up just trade him. Because Jerry Jones obviously does not value Dak Prescott, so why keep him there? Because ultimately, I'm pretty sure he's leaning to the point right now where he doesn't want to be there anymore. The fact of the matter is, if I'm Dak Prescott, I feel disrespected. I really do. I've been healthy. I've been available. I've showed up. I played under a tag the first time. I don't complain. I don't have off-the-field issues like that at all. I'm a leader. I put my heart and soul out on the field each and every Sunday. Come on, man. If I'm Dak Prescott, I feel disrespected. And I'm thinking about not being in Dallas anymore. Because, like I said before, if they wanted a deal to get done, they would have gotten that deal done. This has gone on way too long. way too long. So do I think a deal will get done? No. Period. Start shopping them around, Jerry. Don't be that. And here's the thing that's crazy about it. I don't trust that Jerry Jones would even grant, you know, even if he wanted to be traded. We see what's happening with Deshaun Watson in Houston. They're telling them they're not going to trade him. But ultimately, I think that they will trade Deshaun Watson. Hopefully, with my Chicago Bears. Or I hope we go get Russell Wilson. He said he want to play for the Bears. So, hey. But Deshaun Watson actually met with the head coach, David Culley. And he told him that he still wants to be out. So I don't know what the Texans were doing. I guess they thought that Watson was just going to have a change of heart. I guess they just felt like, you know, he was going to wake up and say, you know what? All right, guys. I'm a Texan for life. I was just a little upset, but I'm here to stay. Wrong answer. He met with him face to face to tell him, I'm not going to play with you. I'm not going to play for you this year. And I told y'all. All my Texans fans, I told y'all, he can afford to sit out even if they franchise tag him. He has endorsements. Nike, Beats by Dre, among two of the top ones. Y'all don't think that he could afford to sit out? He can. And he told them that he will. So there you have it. And last but not least, let's just round this off. I just want to preview the latest top 10 rankings in college basketball. So obviously some of these are going to switch between now and the next time we're on. But the last rankings that we saw, we had Gonzaga at 1, Baylor 2, Michigan was 3, Ohio State 4, Illinois 5, Bama at 6. But Illinois and Bama actually just suffered losses, both of these teams. Oklahoma is at 7, Nova 8, Iowa 9, West Virginia 10. So, again, like I said, Illinois, Alabama, and Iowa actually lost. So there will be some switching around in these rankings. But these are the last rankings before those switches actually took place. So if I'm looking at these rankings, you know, which team do I have my eye on? Which team or teams do I have my eye on that could potentially make a run in the tournament once we get there? I have my eye on Michigan. Michigan's sitting at number 3. They're balling out of control right now. They should be in that discussion with Gonzaga and Baylor as well. They're up there. They've been proven. They continue to win. And they're lights out as a team. You know, they play really great together. Illinois is another team that balls really well together. I have my eye on them. I like their point guard play. I like their inside presence. And then, of course, I'm looking at my Alabama Crimson Tide. You know, we suffered a loss. You know, we suffered a loss, but yet and still have another loss, not just one loss. We had another loss to Arkansas, but we still top team in the SEC. We're gonna lock it up. You know what I mean? We're gonna continue to ball out and bounce back from this like we always do. I think just the way that the Alabama's able to, the way that they shoot the basketball, that's gonna benefit them in the tournament. You know when we get into March Madness, everybody's running guns, shooting threes. So they have shot the three ball really well as a team, and I think that that's gonna again benefit them. And Nate Oates the head coach is gonna have those guys ready. They play really well defensively. There are times when they oftentimes rush their possessions too much, so they do have to get better at that, taking their time and not be so quick to throw up the three ball and really not force themselves into turnovers. Because there are quite a bit of wasted possessions in their games where they don't have to where they could have easily controlled that possession. But again, those are my three teams I'm looking at. I'm excited that we're continuing to get close to this latter half of the season and going to transition into the conference tournament play. And then before we know it, man, we'll be at March Madness. So, hey, excited. But that's all I have for you all. Again, I appreciate you joining the podcast. Keep rocking with me. I promise I won't take another break like that. But if I do, I'll let y'all know ahead of time. You know, things do happen. Again, I was moving. Don't be mad at me now. I love y'all. But hey, keep rocking with me. Same time, same place for the podcast next week. Appreciate everybody again joining in. Be blessed. It's been Laced Up.